Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. But if you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. And since I started holding services here at Old Paths Tabernacle, I felt led to preach through this book, 2 Kings. It's kind of in the middle. To understand 2 Kings, you really should read 1 Kings. But this is where I believe the Lord has led me to preach from. It says that all Scripture is profitable, and I believe in preaching any part of it, even as I'm doing sort of out of time, that we could be blessed, we could be strengthened. God can speak to us and help us with the things that we struggle with. But 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed through Shunem," or to Shunem, "where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned then thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you that you deigned to give us your word. Without you, Lord, we're all undone. Without you, we're hopeless. Without you, there is no hope. But thank you, Lord, that all the things that we struggle with, our problems, our addictions, our fears, our political mess, perhaps, all of these things can be addressed and answers found by reading your word and hearing it preached. Please bless the people that are listening, Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In my studies, I'm impressed by this chapter. The Word of God, as you read it, is multifaceted. This chapter tells a few of the events that happened in the life of Elisha. But it's multifaceted. If you look at the Hebrew language, it's a language of pictures, whereas the Greek language is a language of thought. Hebrew is idiomatic. It has many, let's say, figures of speech. And as you study the Word of God, even though we're studying in King James English, I believe it's a faithful translation. And I believe as you study it over a period of years, you begin to see something of the underlying original text, the Hebrew or the Greek, or if you're reading in Daniel, the Chaldean. Then, too, if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, they go together and they complement one another. And if you've listened to me any length of time on the radio, you understand that I love looking in the Old Testament to try and find the types, the things, the events, the names, the places, the people that happen in the Old Testament, many times these are a type of Christ, or they foreshadow Christ. Obviously, and I've said this many times, the probably most notable type of the Old Testament is the event of the Passover, where the Passover lamb was killed, the blood put on the doorpost and lintel, the death angel passing over at midnight, and he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." This is a foreshadowing of Christ, his blood shed for us. And as we apply it to the doorpost and lintel of our heart by faith, we're passed from death to life. But in reading this chapter, it appears to me that I could be reading the book of Mark. Yes, 2 Kings, yes, Old Testament. But this could very easily be in the Gospels. This could very easily be describing something that Christ did. There are four events or four stories in this one chapter. If you were listening last week, we talked about the miracle of the oil. The woman, she was a widow. The husband was one of the prophets. And she said, "We don't have any money. They're going to take away all of my stuff tomorrow. Please help." And he said, "Do you have any vessels? Any pots? Any cups or bowls or something? Any vessels? Go," he said in verse 3, "borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." And she did. She went and got as many vessels as she could and did what the prophet said, went inside, closed the door, pulled the drapes, what have you. And she had a little bitty pot of oil, maybe a little cup or bottle of oil. And this is olive oil that we're talking about. And she poured into the vessels. She had a little bit, but the oil began to flow. And she filled one vessel and said, "Son, give me another." And poured another and said, "Son, give me another." And poured and poured and poured. If she had 10 or 50, I don't know. But as long as she had a new vessel, she poured the oil. The oil miraculously flowed. And then they ran out. Then they had exhausted everything that they had collected. And she said, "Son, give me another." But he said, "That's it, we're all out." And it says, then the oil stayed. And last time we said that this is a symbol, the oil being obviously a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, it says in one place. This is a picture of the preaching of the gospel, of missionary work, what have you. If we are willing to go, if we are willing to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me," he is willing to use us. If we, as Joshua, who stuck by Moses and who went partway up the mountain when he received the law or what have you, if we'll say, "Lord, here am I, please use me," then he will. As churches, as denominations, try to preach the gospel in foreign countries. One of the things that I enjoy is reading the accounts of missionaries, perhaps in years or centuries gone by. Hudson Taylor, perhaps, maybe I could call a few names, Victor Plymar, Charles Greenaway, people that I know and have read about, or in the case of Greenaway, knew, that did what they could to try and preach the gospel where the gospel was not, in Africa, in India, or what have you. As we will say, "Yes, Lord, please use us," then he will. But if we say, "Well, you know, we enjoy church, we have our denomination, we built three tabernacles and we're going to stay, then he will not help us. If we're willing to be used, he will help us. But if we say, no, we don't want to go to do missionary work, then he won't waste his spirit or his calling. But to the degree that we're willing to say, Lord, here am I, use me, then he has ample anointing, ample spirit, ample messages to give the preacher. But the rest of this chapter, there's this long story, the bulk of the chapter, the Shunammite woman and the miracle of raising her son. Then at the end of this chapter, which I may get to this time or may not, there are two shorter events, shorter passages having to do with the meal that healed the pot of death it was. And then a miracle which, if you read it, reminds you of the feeding of the 5,000, where the prophet said, take this bread and feed way too many people. And when he was obeyed, the bread was multiplied. Obviously, this is something that Christ did. Obviously, healing the sick, raising the dead, multiplying the bread, these are things that Christ did. And as I said, the character of this particular chapter, maybe others in this book, I don't know, but in reading it and studying it, this occurred to me that it looked just like Mark or one of the other Gospels. But the Shunammite woman, she showed kindness to the prophet. And the ministry of Elisha is perhaps somewhat unique. He was a prophet, sure, but he and Elijah, their ministries were probably unique as prophets go. In this country, a couple of centuries ago perhaps, we had the circuit riders. The Methodists, for instance, in the Old West would ride a circuit. It would take a couple of months or however long to go from one town to another, to one state to another, to preach the gospel. And I thank God that they had done so. But this prophet would do that. He would go perhaps to talk to the king, or he would go perhaps to do something else over here. It was a frequent thing for him to do as a prophet. Perhaps you might say that he's sort of like an evangelist. An evangelist, he comes into a church and preaches, kind of a hit-and-run thing. He can say what he wants and then leaves, but then the pastor has to stick around and clean up the mess, I suppose. But this Shunammite woman showed kindness to the traveling prophet. She recognized, probably, that he was a man of God and appreciated his ministry, appreciated the fact that God was with him, felt that she could do some kindness to him. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you'll not lose your reward. But this woman enjoyed the benefit of God's blessing. She was kind to the man of God, and he blessed her. But Elisha, in verse 14, and he said, what is then to be done for her? And Gehazi, the servant, answered, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this time, or about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Obviously, this brings to mind two things. When God came down and spoke to Abraham and Sarah, she being old and understanding a little bit about biology, laughed. So, of course, the son was named Laughter, Isaac meaning laughter. And also in the New Testament, John the Baptist was a miraculous baby, his parents being old. And obviously his ministry was important because he announced the arrival of the Messiah. So as you can see, through this common theme of a miraculous conception, Abraham, and then this Shunammite woman, and then the birth of John the Baptist. This is the hand of God. And again, as I said, I look for types, foreshadowings in the Old Testament, some passage that refers to Christ, or something having to do with Christ. Obviously not Christ directly, but John the Baptist, who proclaimed the arrival of Christ. So God blessed the Shunammite woman, gave her a child when she could not have one. And the kid is something like a teenager or something. I don't know how old, 8, 10, 14, I have no idea how old. But he's out in the sun, apparently, as I read the text. He's out in the sun, gets a sunstroke, and dies. And it says that he brought him into the little room that she had made, the little chamber that she had made for the prophet, laid him upon the bed, and then saddled the ass, the donkey, whatever, and went to find the prophet. And there were questions, why are you going to go see him, what have you. She didn't say, well, my kid's dead. She said, in verse 23, she said, it shall be well. This great woman of faith, she had a son by a miraculous conception. Again, because she was too old to have a child, but God performed some miracle so that she would conceive past her age. She didn't say, my kid died. She didn't say, oh, what are we going to do? She didn't say any of these things. When questioned, she said, it shall be well. That takes great faith in the middle of horror. Probably the worst day of her life, her son died. It shall be well. And she went to find the prophet. And there was something about the prophet Elisha and Gehazi. Gehazi went before the prophet. He took the prophet's staff and laid it upon the child's face or something. But the kid did not revive when the staff was laid on his face. But then the prophet shows up. Elisha shows up. And he puts everybody out of the room. Where have we heard that before? And he lays upon the child who's laying upon the bed. And it says he sneezes 7 times, opens his eyes, and is raised from the dead. This reminds me of when Christ, he's called, my son's dead or whatever. And he arrives on the scene to find the mourners. In fact, they were paid mourners. He puts everybody out except disciples, and he raises the child from the dead. Again, we find in the Old Testament things that foreshadow events in the New. You say, why is that? Well, for the simple reason that the focus of our salvation, the focus of the Word of God, the focus of all of heaven, in fact, is upon Christ dying for the sins of mankind. Hundreds of years ago, scientists thought that the earth was the center of the universe. And they finally realized, I think it was Copernicus, that figured out that the solar system was heliocentric, that the planets revolved around the sun. But honestly, in spiritual things, yes, we look to heaven. Yes, we look to God. But God looks to earth. God looks to mankind, fallen man, and had a plan to come redeem man. Yes, I understand physics, I understand astronomy, I understand that, that's fine. But in God's economy, and when reading the Word of God, we find that God's attention is upon this fallen planet and how he can redeem man. But the child is raised from the dead. Again, the Shunammite woman, filled with faith, she was promised a child, and she said, "Prophet, don't lie to me." Years pass, the kid grows up a little bit, he dies. And she, in great faith, said, "It shall be well." And God remembered that woman and raised her son from the dead. And I think next week we'll look at the rest of the chapter and these two other events. But I'd like to say that they witness of Christ. They witness of the power of God. And I hope that you'll be here next time to hear it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given something to us. Thank you that you give life. And if we trust you, if we say it shall be well, there's no limit of what you can do for us. Help us to trust you. Help us to believe you. Help us to look to you, doubting nothing. And help us to win souls. Help us to comfort others. Help us to be a blessing to someone else. And we thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. All that you are, we are.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.